Beautiful day of life, and the sun is shining beautifully, and we ought to be grateful for that, that He's blessed us with nice weather to be out on the Lord's Day to worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'm always thankful to be with you, and I again appreciate the presence of each and every one of you. In this life, folks choose to be many different things, and some folks don't know who they are. What they are. I've heard many times, and I don't say that in a negative way, but in the world in which we live, I don't know how many times I've heard individuals say, I just don't know who I am. I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I will tell you, if you'll open up the pages of the Bible, you'll soon discover who you are and what you ought to be doing. And so that's advice to me, and it's advice to you as we think about who we are. So don't be confused about who you are. And I want to suggest to you that you can very well change who you are. If you say, preacher, I don't like who I've become. Well, I'm glad you realize that. Do something about it. When I say you, I say me. If there's a time in my life and I say I don't like who I've become regarding such and such, well, then change what I've been doing about that. And so I want us to think about who we are. As I wrote on the board for you this morning, just a very simple lesson, just about preach itself. You get your Bible out and follow along with me. Grab the outline in the back if you'd like to have that. I invite you to come with me to the book of Romans chapter 14. And read with me, beginning with verse 7. We'll read verses 7 and 8. Romans 14, verse 7, beginning. Paul writes, for none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. And whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die. Now watch this first point. We are what? We are the Lord's. We need to understand that as God's people, some of these points are going to be specifically to God's people. Others are just in general. But whether we live or we die, we are the Lord's. Well, God's made all of us, as we'll read in just a moment, but I'm asking you this morning, are you a member of God's family? Can you say when it comes your time to depart this life, to close your eyes and your earthly pilgrimage is over, that you belong unto the Lord, that you are His, that you are in His family? You know, the Bible says as Christians that we are bought with a price. One of the most precious things that we can read about in the Bible, and the Bible makes a mention of many precious things. It's a sermon I love to preach, precious things. Among those things that are precious in the Bible is the shed blood of Christ. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28, Paul, talking to these elders of Ephesus, he says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseer to feed the church of God, which He has what? Which He has purchased with His own blood. We are the Lord's. Now admonish all of us. If we're a Christian, now in general sense, all things belong to the Lord. We know the Scriptures teach that. But in a specific sense, if you're in God's family, you're a Christian, we need to act like it, don't we? All of us. And again, I'll tell you again, this will be the third time I've said it in this sermon. What I say to you, I say to me. These sermons are not just prepared for your benefit, but for mine as well. And so we need to understand that we are the Lord's. But then come with me to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, as we're talking about who we are, I want you to notice what Paul writes. Of course, Bible writers wrote by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We're going to back up and begin reading with let's just go back to verse 1. It'd be a lengthy reading, but I want you to get the context. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, begin with verse 1. Corinth was a congregation that was dealing with division, bickering among themselves. He says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto were you not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able. For ye are yet carnal, For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? For one saith, I'm of Paul, and another, I'm of Apollos. Are you not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I've planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now let's stop there for a moment. We are working together in this local work. Would you agree with that? We're striving for the same goal. We want to go to heaven. We want others to go to heaven. As a result of that, we're striving to teach the gospel to those that will listen, to as many as we can, to plant the seed in the hearts of individuals in the hope so hear, believe it, and obey it. You know, I may do some planting along the way. You may come along and do some watering. Well, do I take credit for that? No. Do you take credit for that? No. We're working together. We're planting. We're watering. But it's God that gives the increase. Now, watch verse 7 again. We'll read on. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. How would you like to be working for God? Let me let you in on something. You are. Notice verse 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. We're working together with God. We just sung a hymn. Mark did a good job in the song service this morning leading that. We appreciate his good work. But we just sang a hymn. We'll work till Jesus comes. Do we realize we can sing a lie as well as tell a lie? Now don't sing we'll work till Jesus comes if you're sitting on the stump of do nothing and whittling on the stick of do less. Do something, all of us. Sometimes we might sing the song, I want to be a worker, do you? If you say, I don't want to be a worker, then don't sing it. But if you sing it, mean it. We're laborers together with God. Number 3. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 beginning, it has something to say about grace and about works and about faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Now watch verse 10. For we are His workmanship. What are we? We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship, created unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. You know, the religious world many times want to absolutely destroy the idea of works. Yet the Bible talks about us working, doesn't it? Where's workmanship? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Well, what's a good work? You got to open up the Bible to define a good work. In 2 Timothy 3:16, he's talking about the Scriptures. They're able to make us wise unto salvation and profitable. Verse 16 talks about, and in verse 17, that the man of God may be perfect, that is complete, thoroughly furnished, or equipped fully unto every good work. The Scriptures will tell us whether or not it's a good work to be involved in. And so don't be involved in something, so I'm doing it because it's a good work. How do you know it's a good work? Does God say it's a good work? Better open up the Bible and find out. We've got to be working. We are His workmanship. But also I want us to understand the fact that there's a statement Jesus makes in the book of Luke, chapter 12. That if any are ever on a high pedestal, whenever you are tempted to climb that high horse, this will knock you down a notch or two. Come with me to the book of Luke, chapter 17. I believe I've got that wrong in the outline. Constant reminders of imperfections. Nevertheless, I'll find that and give it to you. In the book of Luke, the Lord makes a particular statement upon one occasion when He says that we are when we've done that which is our duty to do, say that we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. No, it is Luke 17, verse 10. It is right. So if you're there, you're where you need to be. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Now think of that. Think of that principle. When you've done everything that was expected of you, if the time should ever come, we can all grow. We can all do better. But yet, if you were to do everything that you are expected to do, think you have a right to boast, have some bragging rights. The Lord said, say we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. No matter how much I do or you do. No use to brag about that or to be puffed up about that, because we're only doing what we ought to have been doing to begin with. You see that? So don't ever say, well, look what I've been doing. I've been doing more and more and more and more. Well, God knows what we've been doing and the motive by which we've been doing that. But at the end of the day, I can only say I've been doing what God has expected me to do to begin with. And probably be even at that, there's more I should have been doing. Can you relate to that? Or are you doing everything? Anybody here doing everything? Raise your hand. Not a one. I'm right there with you. I can grow and do better too. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, if any man think he stands, take heed, lest he fall. And then the book of Romans chapter 12, verse 3, we're not to think any highly of ourselves than what we ought to think. So don't get puffed up. In Romans chapter 7, verse 6, number 5, notice what Paul says concerning the law. He says, but now we are, there's our point, but now we are delivered from the law. The American Standard Version uses the word discharged from the law, that being dead wherein you are held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Now that might seem strange to you that he would say we are dead, or delivered rather, from the law, being dead wherein we were held. It might sound strange to you, but you've got to read above that to get the context of it. He's talking to them about the law. He's talking to them about marriage to get the point across. But he says, verse 1, know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from her, from the law of her husband. So then while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye are also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. And so he's saying that you have been delivered from the law, discharged from the law. You can be married unto Christ. You're not serving the law of Moses and the law of Christ at the same time. That won't work, never has, never will. We've been delivered from, discharged from the law of Moses. When you go to find out how you are to live before God, become a Christian, live faithful unto the end, you don't go to the Old Testament to find out what Moses did or what Abraham did. You come this side of the cross to find out what Christians did. You see that point, how simple that is? Colossians 2 and in verse 14, at the cross, he talks about the Old Testament law was nailed. Took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. But also, as we get to the scripture reading of Acts 17, 28 and 29, it said in verse 28, as certain also of your own poets have said, we are His offspring. He says, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, ye ought not think that the Godhead is likened to graven art and so forth. And the point that he's talking to them, they were idolatrous people worshiping idols that cannot see, cannot speak, cannot think, cannot move. And Paul is teaching them, your own poets have said that we are the offspring of God. If we therefore are the offspring of God, and we move and we think and we have our being and so forth, then we ought not think that the Godhead is likened to these dumb idols that you serve. See the point? Which cannot think and so forth. The Bible teaches that we are created in the image of God, Genesis 1, 26 and 27. We are different from the animals. Make no mistake about it, no matter how many instructors of higher learning want to tell you that we're no different, we just look different, we're different than animals. And as one person once stated, last time they was at the zoo, they asked a question, wondered, why am I on this side and that ape is on the inside? Well, we know why we're on the outside. Now, you didn't have any problems figuring that out, did you? We are created in the image of God. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And one day we're going to put off this earthly tabernacle, and our soul will stand before a righteous judgment on the day of judgment. And we'll either hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant, or depart from me. One of the two. I want to hear those words come. You bless my Father, don't you? Well done. We are His offspring, created in the image of God. But also in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, Paul's talking about being baptized. Verse 3 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, every time you see the word therefore in the Bible, you need to ask the question, why is it therefore? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. I want you to know, if you are a Christian this morning, you've done what they did in the New Testament to become a Christian. You've been buried with Christ. You're not the person you used to be. You, as he would say in verse 5, or 4 rather, you have been raised to walk in newness of life. Been buried with Christ. Like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you've been raised to walk in newness of life. Or as Paul would put it in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. One more point. We're talking about who we are this morning. And by the way, if you haven't been buried with Christ in baptism, no finer moment than now to do that. Will you? Will you do that? You want to do that? We hope you do. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 20, or 30 rather, 5 and in verse 30, Paul says, for we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. I want you to know that you can be a member of the greatest institution known to man, and that is the body of Christ, the church of Christ. Right unto those at Corinth, Paul penned in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You know, many times, just a little side note, I'll throw this in for free of charge. Sometimes individuals get themselves in trouble because they think that whatever they are doing, the church is doing. That's not the case. Do you realize that you, not plural, but you individually, are not the church? You're not the church. I'm not the church. I can do a lot of things in my daily life, but that doesn't mean the church is doing it. I can do a lot of things at home, but that doesn't mean the church is engaged in doing it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the best commentary to point that out. Notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 12. For as a body, he's talking about the church. Or he's talking about our physical body, but he's going to talk about the church. For as a body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. The body he's talking about in verse 13 is the church. You're not baptized into my body. We're baptized into the body of Christ, which is a church. Colossians 1, Ephesians 1. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Now watch verse 14. For the body is not one member, but many. You're not the body. Singular, you. We make up the body. All the members together make up the body of Christ. And so don't fall into that false idea of saying, I'm the church. No, you're not. You are a member of the church. You see that point? You're not the church. Verse 20, but now are they many members, but yet one body. We are. Makes a good study. I hope it's been profitable to you. I hope that you've gained something from it. Should you be in the assembly this morning? Not a member of the body of Christ.